Thank you, Roy. I've had the good fortune to work with Select Sires now for several years, and they've done a really good job for me, and I certainly do appreciate their help. I came here tonight to tell you a story. It's about how a fella who wanted to try to make a living in the cattle business figured out a way to do it, and then I want to tell you a story about a calf crop and what happens during the year with this calf crop. Came a long way today. I started on the East Coast, made it to the Gulf Coast, and up to the Rocky Mountains all in one day. So for a boy like myself, not quite used to that much traveling. And actually yesterday at about this time, I was at home baling hay. I remembered when I was a kid working on my dad's place, we had about 15 cows, and I sipped on the twine box watching the baler to see when it was going to miss a bale, which was about every other bale, so he could come back and tie it before it fell out on the ground. We had about 15 or 20 cows, and we made hay all summer long to feed those cows. And it seems like at home now we can make enough hay to feed that many cows in about an hour. So things have changed on that end of the beef industry, and I think they're going to change a lot as far as the AI industry is concerned. Let me give you just a little quick background on our operation, and Roy mentioned part of it. We're running about 700 cows. I think we actually have about 709 cows right now. The cow herd is our main operation. It's primarily what we do. Our cows are crossbred cows, which I strongly believe in. We're pretty much an Angus Simmental-based cow now, but we have a pretty good number of Angus Gelby cross cows and some Angus Charolais cross cows. We also do have a stocker operation. I buy and background and feed about 1,000 head of stocker cattle each year. We also run a bull test station, which I think maybe Dr. Eller tomorrow might give you some of the history on that. We feed about 200 bulls on a custom basis each fall and winter, and have a sale in the spring. Also, we even have a ewe flock. I've had these for probably 35 years. Hopefully, being in the sheep business won't totally wreck my credibility here tonight. Hopefully, I'll be able to relay to you the fact that we have a passion for the cattle business there at home, and we're trying to put together a good kind of cow herd. And you can see there, that it kind of takes all kinds of cows for us to make the thing work. This particular cow right here she was born just about the time we started AI, and I think that's actually a predestined calf standing there with her. Like Roy said, we've kept a lot of records through the years, and I think that we kept wean and weight records, and we kept percent cows exposed that had calved, and calf crop records, and those types of things. And each of those, in and of itself, I think, if you try to maximize any one of those, it ends up hurting you in other places. And so the figure that I've always tried to use is a return per cow figure. And I'll try to show you some more of that as we go along. I wonder how many people in this room recognize that that's the Gardner Predestined bull. Raise your hand if you did. Probably we might put Paris Hilton's picture up there, and not that many people would know that's who it was. I guess that says something about this group. We know that with artificial insemination that we can get, if we use highly proven bulls, that we can get better daily gains. We can get improved carcass trait. We can get higher quality replacement heifers. But, what are the figures to back that up? And that's what I'm going to try to show you. We got started in AI back in 1999. It was actually started with heifers before then, but started on a whole herd basis in 99. it resulted from a little research project that Dr. John Hall and Dr. D. Whittier did with our farm. And I know that's one of the topics that's going to come up tomorrow is how research affects operations. And that one there certainly did have a big effect on what we were doing. You know, when I'm selecting a bull for our operation, and it may, for different parts of the country, it may be different, but when I'm picking bulls to use, I'm using Angus bulls, I'm using Simmental bulls, and I'm using some composite bulls. I try to use my AI program, five frame. Bulls are in a five frame category because I'm picking out all my replacement heifers from the AI program. Then in my cleanup bulls, I'll use larger frame bulls because it seems to me that those calves on feed to the bigger growthier kind of calves will do better on, will have a better chance to maximize the profit on feed. We're using a lot of the high dollar beef kind of bulls. Of course, that bull right there is one of the very high ones in the breed. We're trying to use bulls that, you know, will make good cows, bulls that'll give us good structure on our cows and good dispositions and a good udder quality, probably using bulls that are milk-wise from 18 to 25, 27 pounds in that range. Some of the figures that I'm going to give you tonight are the actual figures that came from the field and from the feed yard and were exactly the way they came out for us. Now, when I've shown these figures right here before, and a lot of people look at this and say, well, you know, some of those things are too cheap. But, you know, I fight with these guys and try to get my prices down as low as I can. I think, you know, that's something we all need to do. But for me to get a cow bred AI, my average semen cost from all the bulls that I'm using comes out to about $12 a straw. They're getting a shot of prostaglandin, which is costing me $2.15. I use two doses of GNRH. I use a 1.5 cc dose. That costs me $3. I charge $6 to run the cows down the chute for heat detection. And my average cost to get a cow inseminated is about $2.50. So the actual cost per cow then is $25.65. If I estimate I'm getting a 65% pregnancy rate on that, it comes out to about $39.46 to use to get a cow pregnant AI. That's just one of the cleanup bulls that we're using on the farm. It happens to be a composite bull, half Simmental, half Angus. Now, to get a cow bred natural service, you all probably have seen this yourselves. The bull market dropped quite a bit for us in Virginia this past year. You know, last year we could kind of get some of the better end of the bulls, probably in the $3,200 range. This year, we probably could buy some of the good bulls in the upper $2,000 range. So I used $2,800 for the bull, $1,000 for salvage value, estimated to get about 4 years per bull, exposed 30 cows each year. That comes out to $15 in bull costs per cow exposed. Then the maintenance cost to keep that bull for a year at $450, $15 per cow there. So it came out to $30. If I use a 90% pregnancy rate for the cows that were exposed to the cleanup bulls, that comes out to $33.33. That was about a $6 difference, probably a lot closer than most people realize. You know, some of the things that, you know, in addition to the AI, estrus synchronization, of course, is a vital part of what we do, and it allows us to use AI. These are some of the things, you know, that we have found that have helped our operation, you know, from estrus synchronization. It allows us to AI breed in a very short time frame because these cows are synchronized and they're bred within a few days. Actually, when we went to AI, it increased our pregnancy rates by about 2%, which if we figure that back on a cow basis, that adds about $11 to each calf that we produce. We increased our pregnancy rate basically because we're breeding all of our cows on day one. So we're going to get an extra heat cycle on a lot of those cows. And another thing that we've been able to do is some of those late calving cows, and we'll go in with cows that are as little as 19 days postpartum and go ahead and put them through the sink process. And invariably, we'll end up getting some of those cows bred AI, probably in the 30% range, and certainly back most all those cows up some. We actually have had fewer assisted births with our AI cows, and I think that's because of, you know, the high accuracy EPDs that are coming from our AI sires, and we'll have less death loss, and that's probably because we're spending so much time with the cows when the AI calves are coming. You know, the cows are getting checked 2 and 3 times a day, and then when we get to the end of it, it's hard to get out there quite as often. And it seems like then again, if you have problems with scours and pneumonia or something like that, it happens in your later born calves. What it has done then, it is, and actually that death loss benefit there is worth about $12 per calf on a herd basis. So it's allowed us to calve about 87% of our cows in the first 30 days of the calving season. It's increased our overall calf age since before we started AI to when we started by 16 days. And it's, as it says there, the AI calves are 27 days older than the average non-AI calf. That's just a picture of a first calf heifer, just calf up and going, and, you know, that's what you like to see. You know, when we get around to breeding these cows, I wanted to give you some of the preg check statistics that we had. Like with heifers, these heifers are on a system where we put cedars in for 7 days and give a shot of little lice, and then we breed everything on standing heat. As you can see from my results, I'm not really greatly enthused about how well I'm getting along with my heifers. We don't time breed any of them, so probably if we did that, we might could increase that by another percentage or two, but I kind of got tired of putting 10 straws of semen in time breeding heifers and getting 2 or 3 calves, so I kind of quit doing that. But you see, it seems like on the cow thing, I think we've sort of gotten that figured out. We use the off-sync program, which is one of the first ones that came out. I guess it'd be sort of like driving a 92 Oldsmobile or something today. But I think, as you can see, you know, we've always gotten along well with it and just have been reluctant to change because we've gotten along so well. We fine-tuned it through the years. We started out probably in the mid-60s with it, and, you know, we learned if we got in there and bred some of those cows, watched those cows a little bit early and caught a couple of those early cows and got those bred and did some other things, just in following the details by the letter of the law and keeping track of things, that we could improve our conception rates. And we've been in that 71 to 74% AI preg rate probably the last 4 or 5 breedings that we've had on these things. And actually, over the last 4 or 5 breedings, our 2-year-olds have been our high conception group. One of the things that helps them out is that we sell some replacement heifers, and generally we keep the heifers that we get bred AI, and we sell the ones that are bred to the bulls. So all of our 2-year-olds are all calving early in the calving season. And we started, we use a cedar with the 2-year-olds. So they're like on an off-sync cedar program. Another thing that we've started doing with those cows is that we give them exposure to a teaser bull about 50 days before the breed season. I feel like that's really helped us out a whole lot. So these calves will stay on their mamas for probably about 7 months. You know, we're in a part of the country where we have a pretty good grass resource and really don't have the incentive or advantage to early wean like some of the folks do. And the fall calves actually stay on a little bit longer than that. Those calves will then be backgrounded for about 45 days before they're sent to feed. And these weights that I have right here are based off of those weights. These weren't the weights when they came off the cow. They were the weights when they got ready to be shipped to the feed yard, and that's with about a 2% shrink figured into that. So this gets a little bit, I get a little bit tongue-tied talking about AI on AI and AI on non-AI and, you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, what we're talking about here is that this first group, those calves are out of AI bulls and out of AI sired cows, and so on and so forth. And these calves are, I don't know that I should identify the bulls, but I guess I will anyway. Like I said, they're Simmental and Angus bulls, and probably two-thirds of the calves, these are steer calves, two-thirds of these calves are out of the Gardner Predestined bull and the Nichols Legacy bull. And then the others are out of some Cavanese bulls. One of those is a Gardner bull, and part of those calves are out of the 6i6 bull, and so on and so forth. But you see the difference, and I think the interesting thing is that those calves that are older, that were out of those AI bulls on a weight per day basis, are right there with their younger counterparts, and that's kind of a pretty hard thing to do. But you see, there's a consistency there, as you take less AI influence in those calves. Your weights are going down. That was a photograph I took earlier this week. That's a group of 3-year-old fall calving cows, and kind of gives you an idea of the size of our cows. I mean, we're concerned about cow size and have tried to monitor that as closely as we can. And you see, those cows there are probably weighing 1175 to 1200 pounds, and they've got calves on them. They're going to weigh close to 700 pounds. So those are fall calves. This is a group of our calves on feed in Nebraska. We've developed, I think, a really good relationship with our cattle feeder there. He is very knowledgeable about our tagging system, and we communicate very often, and he knows our sire groups, and he knows which calves need to be pulled early. He knows those predestined calves need to go in that first group because they're going to be bigger and they're probably going to grade. So, if we have a bull that we haven't used a whole lot and we start getting a few calves and they're not doing very well, we may call him up and say, pull that sire group out and let's don't sell those cattle. Grade and yield. Let's try to get those sold another way and try to get as many dollars out of them as we can. And in the meantime, we'll get rid of that bull. These are the figures from the spring calves that were born in 2006. And those calves were, just sold in the last couple of months. And I tell you, the feedlot performance this year was pretty sorry compared to other years. And maybe a lot of you folks have faced the same thing. The weather conditions were pretty bad. And average daily gains on those calves, probably if you round them up, averaged to about a 3.2. And those calves had been gaining about 3.70 in years before, 3.7, I mean. And we probably lost about 50 or 60 pounds in live weight on the steers this past year compared to previous years. But I think it was more just feedlot conditions through the winter. But you see there the weights on the calves, and I think because the feedlot conditions were poor this year, that it didn't let the cattle express their genetic ability to grow in the feedlot quite as well as maybe it would have. But you see there's still that difference in the cattle, and the cattle that have more AI influence, were heavier. I think, I need to reiterate, though, and I think I said this before, but, AI in and of itself is not much value unless you're using the really proven bulls. And on a commercial basis, I don't think you can risk using the young bulls. And I might experiment with a young bull a little bit and use 10 or 15 straws or something like that, but I'm basically using bulls that I'm pretty sure what I'm going to end up with. I think this starts to show you the added value of the AI and how it has affected our program. These calves this year were all age and source verified and all sold for export into Japan. Because of that, we gave up the CAB prime premium that we might have gotten on them, and we took the source and age verified premium. Then the cattle were still sold grade and yield, and so we got a premium based on our percentage choice over plant average and our percentage yield grade fours that were under plant average. But it's pretty impressive to go in there, I think, and look at those AI sired calves and the ones that were out of those AI cows and see that they were 97% choice or better. Only 3% selects, 6% yield grade fours, which I think is acceptable. The base for the age and source was about $32 a head. And so whatever the difference is in that from the $78 is what those cattle made on a grid. And this year, those cattle, most of those calves were sold on that market that was $1.50, and those cattle ended up bringing $1.750 that week. So some of the the highest fat cattle that I had ever sold. You see there, then, if you're talking about an AI sire out of cows that are non-AI sired, we got 85% choice or better, 8% yield grade fours. And like I said earlier, a lot of those calves are, a large number of those calves are out of the legacy Simmental bulls. So, you know, I think that shows that there are bulls in all breeds that can do what you need them to do. When we get to the cows that were bred to clean up bulls that were AI sired, you see there's still a benefit from that AI just from that cow. I'm getting 74% of those. And then I get down to 61%, which was basically the base. I got the age source premium base on those cattle. Really didn't get too much of a premium otherwise. And probably with a little different selection of cleanup bulls, I might have gotten a little higher percentage choice on those calves. That was probably due to my efforts to try to crossbreed those cattle as much as possible. And, like I said earlier, it's there's some good Simmental bulls and good bulls of other breeds out there, but it's tougher to find cleanup bulls of those breeds that can get in there and do what you need them to do, or at least it's been tougher for me to find them. If you look at the gross dollars that these calves brought, and we subtract out the feed cost and trucking, which both have really increased over the last couple of years, we get back to that net return. It's not actually net return per cow. It's misstated. It's just a return per cow figure. So I still have my cost at home to take out of that, obviously. But that gives me my return per cow figure. Those AI calves that were on AI cows gross $1,390 a head and will net back $972. And as we go down the list, we're at 917 on the AI sired calves that were not LAI cows. One thing I probably should mention about those cows is that, of course, now we're keeping only calves that are AI sired, and so those are the young cows. The cows that are not AI sired that I still have are cows that are, you know, probably now at least 7 years old. But those cows have been culled through pretty hard too. So I mean, I think they're a pretty good set of cows, and I think it shows you an AI sired cows have probably not been culled through as hard. So if there was the same selection pressure on them, you know, there might even be a little more difference than that comes out to be. But from the calves that are AI on AI compared to the ones that are not on either one, it's about $175 difference. I think it really shows you that there's even within a calf crop. And another thing that I wanted to say was this. This was every spring steer calf that we raised last year. This is based off of 230 calves, steer calves. Every single one of the steers ended up going to feed. So it's a pretty true indication of what's going on in our herd. And even within one herd, and I think, you know, a lot of us know that, there's a tremendous variation just within these particular groups. And if you looked at them on an individual basis, I'm sure there's a lot more difference than that. This is a group of the older cows that I have. These cows are all 10 years old and older. You probably won't be able to really see it, but there's a lot more inconsistency in these cows than like this group of cows here. These are a group of spring calving 3-year-old cows. And you can see my cows, when I go out, they come to me. They think they're going to get rotated through pastures. And like those cows right there, if I decide to open the gate to move them, I can get that whole herd of about 120 pairs into the next field in probably about 3 minutes. So rotational grazing has really helped gentle the cattle down and get them to where we can handle them. One of the things that I noticed when I was putting these figures together and that I wanted to try to bring out to you tonight was the value of an AI-sired cow. And I hope I'll be able to explain this the way that I want to, but it seemed like that it doesn't matter as much which bulls you bred these cows to, whether it was an AI-sired bull or a natural service bull. The differences in the cows was pretty consistent. Cows that were bred to one of my AI bulls, if they were AI-sired, they had a weaning weight of 775 pounds and a return to cow of $972. The non-AI-sired cows then are $740 and $917. 35 pounds difference in that shipping weight, $55 difference at slaughter. But then if you look at the calves that were out of the cleanup bulls on those same sets of cows, I was really interested in the fact that it came out very similarly. So it shows you there's a pretty consistent relationship there in the value of an AI-sired cow. And if you think about the fact that these cows, you know, a good cow, she stays in your herd 10 or 12 years, just that difference right there alone could mean another calf to you. I guess this is kind of going to wind up what I had to say tonight, and I wanted to kind of come up with a way to for our operation and to kind of give you an idea of what AI has meant to us. So what I did was I went back and figured in all the income that I had from both cow herds, spring and fall. I deducted my feedlot costs from that, so these are based off of some of the figures, actually from the year before. But it included, like it says on there, the fall and spring herds, steer and heifer calves sold from the feed yard, replacement heifers that are sold, and I probably sell about 15% of the heifers that I raise as replacements, and cull cows. I came out with a production value per cow of $775. Of course, I still have all of my costs at home to take out of that. So then what I decided to do was I took out those cows that had calves that were not AI-sired and were not AI-sired themselves, and I used the same figures on them, took their calves that were fed out. I didn't sell any replacements from those calves because they weren't AI-sired, and the cull cows from Anton came out with $685 difference. That's a $93 difference between those two herds of cows, and realizing that the second group was included in the first group. So that if I subtract the extra cost of AI farming, which was $6 per cow, it came up to $87 per cow on an entire herd basis. So on a 700 cow herd, that's over $60,000 increased net income for our farm, basically based on AI. Now, you know, with AI, there's a cost associated with planning, with the time it takes to do it, the stress that it puts on facilities and your cattle and your labor, and it's about 4 weeks of misery. But you know, for $60,000, it's probably worth it. I just had a couple more things here I wanted to say before I finish this thing up tonight. You know, I think AI is probably not for everybody. I think, you know, if the reproductive management in a herd's not pretty good to start out with, you know, if you're not getting 70% of your cows bred in that first heat cycle, I think you have to be a person who likes their cows, can take you out and tell you which cows are the best cows, and you know, you got to have that. I think you have to have that degree of I guess I don't know exactly how to put it, but I think you understand what I'm saying. I think AI is kind of, it's about choices that you make. You know, we all make choices about almost everything that we do. I don't think it's about facilities. It's not about labor. It's not about time. It's about, you know, whether it's worth it to you to get out and try to add more dollars to your operation, whether you need to or whether you want to. And, you know, we need it to. So I think it's, you know, it's been certainly a benefit to our operation, probably has kept us going. I remember back in the, probably about in the early 90s, and saw Jim Johnson earlier today. He's probably in here tonight somewhere. Jim used to come over to my place quite a bit when I had a lot fewer cows and a lot more stocker cattle. And I decided, if I was going to make a living in the cattle business, I was going to have to do it with cows because I surely wasn't going to make it in stocker cattle. And so as I progressed and tried to develop a way to do that, I really couldn't do it under a conventional system. I couldn't just breed those cows to the best bulls I could find and sell those calves down at the graded sale. And there just wasn't enough net income at the end of the things to pay off a farm that was purchased and those type of things. So, you know, the other thing that I wanted to do when I started out was I wanted to be involved in the mainstream of the cattle industry. I wanted to be able to do something that anybody else could do. And, you know, the tools that I'm using for this program and the things that we've done, I think are things that anybody else could do. And probably many of you here tonight could be up here giving the same talk and doing the same thing. So that is the end.